O God, take our minds and think through them, take our lips and speak through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. This passage has always struck a chord of fear in me. Growing up, I worried over the possibility of Jesus being ashamed of me at that last day he speaks of. Was I right about who I believed Jesus was? And was I unabashedly telling everyone who I knew Jesus to be so that he would not be ashamed of me then? These thoughts were in my mind as I turned to this passage for a sermon today. And while I don't struggle with the same terror of those days anymore, I still can't read this passage without recognizing that there is at least something to be nervous about, because it calls us to reflect on what our lives are fundamentally about. In this passage, Jesus asks his disciples who others say that he is. Then he turns it on them, saying, "But who do you say that I am?" It's an important question for us today. Who is Jesus to me? It's an important question for us to share. Who is Jesus to you? I can know Jesus in new ways by knowing who Jesus is to you. But too often, we turn this question into a test of faith. Do you have the right answer about who Jesus is? The answer becomes a boundary for who is in a community and who is out. Families have been torn apart. Wars have been fought, and far too much blood and tears have been shed over differing answers to this question. But as I look at this passage now, I can't help but think of another passage in Matthew 25, which answers the opposite question. It talks about who Jesus says he will claim to know on that last day, who he will acknowledge before his Father in heaven. When Jesus is welcoming the righteous into heaven in that passage, he says that when he was hungry, they fed him. When he was thirsty, they gave him something to drink. When he was naked, they clothed him. When he was sick, they cared for him. And when he was in prison, they visited him. And the righteous say, "When did we do that?" And he says, "Whenever you did it to the least of these, you did it to me." Jesus is saying that those who treated every other person as Christ are those who truly know him. Just like Jesus asked those around thought he was, and the disciples knew the answers. Society usually has its own answers for who we think other people to be. And in their day and in ours, there are far too many for whom that answer is, as Jesus says, the least of these. Huge portions of our world whose lives are not worthy enough to allow their basic needs to be met, and thus are left struggling for survival. Hungry, thirsty, sick, and in prison. But there are some who choose to answer that question differently. Those who see the humanity and dignity of each person they encounter, and in doing so, Jesus says they have done so to him, even when they did not know it, because they were simply seeing the same worthiness in every ounce of humanity they came across. So this makes me wonder if, in fact, we are being asked this question every day. In every person we encounter, we are asked, "Who do you say that I am?" Perhaps the answer that matters in the end to Jesus is the one we answer every day of our lives. In our baptismal vows, which we reaffirm every time we welcome another person into our church, we promise to seek and serve Christ in all persons and to respect the dignity of every human being. I think we may put too much emphasis on giving the correct answer in heaven, when in fact it seems to be Jesus who knows the answer based on what happens in our time here, what we live out day by day, if we have given our life for the sake of the gospel. Because the gospel isn't that someday we will become new and different, completely different beings, like a magical heavenly makeover. The gospel is that life is available here and now, that the real, eternal, abundant life can start now and continues forever. The gospel is that life is available to each and every one of us, that we are all welcome in the kingdom of God, even those we least expect. The gospel is that the kingdom is already here, that we live in it now, together, as the humanity reconciled to God and each other. The The gospel is that we are invited to be part of bringing that kingdom in which we see ourselves and every other person as the glorious images of God who we are, and make that the reality by which we live on earth as it is in heaven. In some ways, I think this whole passage may scare us, not because we cannot understand it, but because in fact we know how deeply true it is, and we see it around us every day. Those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. We know that we walk by people all the time who are trying so hard to save their life that they are in fact losing it. We know that in some way we cannot explain, people are dying inside slowly but surely. I've never heard this truth more articulately explained than by the philosopher David Foster Wallace in a commencement speech at Kenyon College. He says, "In the day-to-day trenches of adult life, there is actually no such thing as atheism. There is no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. If you worship money and things, if they are where you tap real meaning in life, then you will never have enough. Never feel you have enough. It's the truth. Worship your body and beauty and sexual allure, and you will always feel ugly. And when time and age start showing, you will die a million deaths before they finally grieve you. Worship power. You will end up feeling weak and afraid, and you will need ever more power over others to numb your own fear. Worship your intellect, being seen as smart. You will end up feeling stupid, a fraud, always on the verge of being found out. Those who want to save their life will lose it. It's the truth all around us. In the process of desperately seeking the lives we want, it's as though something at the core of who we are, our very soul, can be lost in the process. But then we also see this truth as we encounter people who are truly full of life, brimming over with something that draws us to them. I find that they are usually people whose life has been given to something and they are sure of it. Their life is not lived for themselves, but for the good of another. We see glimpses of this truth all the time. Sometimes it's a cause, a movement, a calling that brings forth all of who someone is. Sometimes it's falling in love. We see someone given the freedom to be completely who they are. Sometimes you can glimpse it in the glow of a bleary-eyed parent giving up so much of themselves to care for a longed-for and loved child. And we know it when we look in the eyes of someone who has seen worse from this world than we can imagine and realize that somehow they have not been destroyed, but in fact have more life than we can know. They give us a glimpse that there is something beyond that cross which we are called to take up. And we need that glimpse, because the path we are called to follow is not easy. We may not make trees into crosses anymore, but our world has no shortage of ways of using the blessings of creation to hurt and humiliate each other. Today we take up a cross out of a faith that Jesus is no longer on his, but too many others still are. There's no skipping the cross for us any more than for Jesus, and that news is not easier for us to take than it was for Peter. Seeking and serving Christ and all others, working to bring the reality of the kingdom of God here and now, will mean working to break down such forces around us and such inclinations within us. Too often this passage has been used to justify oppression and encourage self-destruction, but I think glorifying what hurts and humiliates in our world misses the point. We are called to take up our cross in answer to that question, "Who do you say that I am?" We take up our cross because we believe Jesus is God in the flesh, who came and took up a cross in order that we all may live. In the cross, we see the answer of God to our own question, "Who do you say that I am?" Because on the cross, God answered, "You are my beloved, my child, for whom I will give my only son, my very self, in order that you may live." Out of the love shown to us, we live in answer to the question we are asked by everyone around us. "Who do you say that I am?" We are called to take up our cross to follow Jesus, And Jesus took up the cross in order to bring an end to all that causes us to put each other on them. And most of all, we are able to take up our cross because we have faith that the cross isn't the end of the story. We take up our cross knowing it's already been conquered. That death has, out of death has come life, life abundant and free now and forever. And that is the hope we have to offer to our world. That all that plagues us now is not the end of the story. That who the world says they are is not the answer of a God who loves us more than we know. And that is certainly good news. It is the gospel, and we are here to share it with those longing to hear. So may we go from here, answering each, "Who do you say that I am?" with the hope we have been given, knowing that in doing so, it is we who will find life. And along the way, we may just meet Christ. Amen.